Hey, Cruisetastic Cruisinators. Jeff Meacham here with a very special bonus episode. All right, full disclosure, everybody. This is our first ever unedited try at making a pod. So this is going to be a quick bonus episode.
I apologize ahead of time.
Yeah, just Alec, do you want to quickly say anything?
I also apologize.
I apologize as well. So we had to talk about something that just happened recently, which is in Los Angeles, we found out that the Pacific Theater Company or something like that, they're the people that bought ArcLight and the Cinerama Dome here. Cinerama Dome, is that right? In Los Angeles. And it just recently shut down.
Naming all kinds of facts left and right.
I know. We're talking about one thing. Really, I mean, one thing.
There's somebody who does their homework. It's Jeff Meacham.
But wait a minute. Is it Pacific is a company that bought ArcLight?
I'm pretty sure none of that you got correct.
No one cares.
Let's keep going.
Cinerama Dome is closing. The dome is closing.
It was built a long time ago. Because I got my facts right in front of me.
It was a year in the past.
It's not in the future that it was built.
It says it was a 1963 historic landmark. So I don't know if that means it was built in 63 or in 63. They were like,
it's a landmark.
When was it built then?
Even if it was written down, you wouldn't remember. So let's just keep going.
It was before then.
It was before.
Because Lawrence of Arabia played in there, and it was before 63. I know that.
Oh, Lawrence of Arabia came out like a year before 63.
So it definitely was built before then.
Oh God! You know who you are right now. You're the guy who calls himself 44 when his birthday's in 2 months. When you're like, no, man, you're 43. And he's like, no, but I'm turning 44. That's who you are right now.
What movie opened up the dome? I just read this. I didn't know this.
Oh, what? Joel?
It's a mad world.
Never saw it.
Oh, okay. It's one of the greatest comedies ever made. Really.
Really?
So, Jeff, tell us what's happening, Newsman Jeff.
Well, it turns out that this famed Cinerama Dome is shutting down. It shut down. No one, because of this pandemic for the last 2 years now, no one can go see movies in Pacific theaters. It's like, hey, we don't have any money left. So right now, let's just take a moment. And I know Alec has got something controversial to say because he always does, but I'm heartbroken. Listen, we started this podcast because of course, our love for Tom Cruise, but because we are three movie nerds. We live and breathe movies. When I just posted about it on my Instagram page, going to the movies is my favorite thing to do in the world.
Yeah, and I just want to add to this some more facts Jeff left out. It's not just the Cinerama Dome. It's it's the ArcLight Theaters, which if you are a lover of movie going and you've been, it's impossible not to fall in love with the ArcLight Theaters. It is made for movie lovers. It's not made for the casual theater goer.
Idea was that it was an adult kind of only place to go see movies where you could get a drink.
But not for those types of movies.
Right. Exactly. But it was supposed to be the mature audience.
Yes. Every movie screening you would go to, they'd have a film tech come out, introduce the movie, tell you if the image quality was not up to snuff. They would sit there for 10 minutes and give them any notes you had. Same for the sound quality. I've been there dozens and dozens of times. I never heard one cell phone go off. Everybody was very respectful. It was a great bookstore downstairs.
They always had good and fun movie tchotchkes and everything.
They would have the costumes from the movies you were going to see on display in these cases around. Like it was really a movie lover's paradise.
Yeah, they had the miniature of the Grand Budapest Hotel. I remember that one time when I walked in. I was like, that's cool. They always had the cool stuff. And also for us, 40-something-year-olds, this was our first time that we saw dealt with assigned seating. We all grew up in an era where, especially if you went to the opening, you were stressed about what time you got there.
Especially here in New York City, you had to be there 3 hours early.
There you go. You always had that douchebag friend, by the way, that was me, who was always late, and you had to be the guy sitting there in the movie feeling so uncomfortable as you've got
telling 10 people, why can't I sit there? Your sweatshirt, your shoes, your hat, anything,
because you know your date was like, I have to go to the bathroom, and you're like, what, it's gonna start right now. So assigned seating changed everything for us.
And by the way, it's just not the dome, there's 300 other theaters owned by this company that are all closing down because of
ArcLight. Is Pacific also just got other theaters as well?
There's a parent company that owns Pacific and ArcLight. There's a parent company. Yeah. So, yes, there's, you know, but, and tens, but, you know, more than 10,000 people are out of work for, you know, permanently.
And I loved seeing it as a historic site in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I'll controversially say is my favorite Tarantino movie. It's just heartbreaking, man. We love movies. You know, I remember seeing The Fugitive at the Uptown Movie Theater in D.C., which was their historic theater. And that one just closed down last year, too. So this is scary. We're losing movie theaters.
I'm sorry. That's right. In New York City, too.
The Ziegfeld.
The Ziegfeld, yeah.
Well, that closed down pre-pandemic.
Oh, come on.
That was pre-pandemic.
So was the Uptown. But are you kidding? Yeah. I remember seeing Moulin Rouge at the Ziegfeld.
And the Paris.
But Jeff, you breeze past something.
What?
This show, go back to episode one of this show.
Oh, yeah, the cold open,
the very first thing you hear is Joel's story about the Arclight. Almost meeting Tom Cruise at the Arclight, right?
Yeah, man. That's how we started this pod.
At the Cinerama Dome.
So let's do this real quick, Joel. Let's talk about Alec. Let's talk about our favorite experiences of going there. We've all lived in LA now for 15 plus years. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah.
So we all got here around the same time, and let's just start talking about the dome. But should we jump in now, Alec, and talk about your controversial feeling about this? Because you did say I've got a left field.
Oh yeah, I don't like that place at all.
Whoa!
Excuse me.
What?
Choke on your drink, you son of a... I'm going to hire a truck driver to drive to your house. Curved screens are ridiculous.
Are you talking about murdering him, Joel?
Yes. No, I'm talking about hiring somebody to murder him, and I won't be held responsible.
You know that never works. All that you're going to turn into is a Dateline episode. And
just wait.
The experience of a large movie theater with a huge crowd, I love. The Ziegfeld New York, 1,200 seats, I absolutely love the rock concert feel. I love crowding in better when you have assigned seats, certainly. I love the feel. I love it all. Curved screens are ridiculous. That's not how movies are shot to be made. And when you're seeing those edges, it gets a little blurred. And I just don't really like the look of it.
Okay. Aside from the Cinerama Dome, you were a fan of the Arclight, correct?
Yes. Yes, to be clear. Yes, Arclight theaters, fantastic. I love the way they take care of you.
So you just didn't like the dome?
They're very serious. I didn't like, actually, the projection of the movies at the dome seemed very bizarre to me, having that curved screen. That's it.
I got you. All right, Joel, go. What do you got? You got some movies that you loved watching? You can be more than one.
And the other beautiful thing about the Arclight is they would, on a weekly basis, have throwback classics. I'm getting to it. They're throwback classics. In recent years, went back and saw a new print of Raiders and Tootsie, and you could.
I watched Jurassic Park with Christy.
Go see a classic. And it was beautiful. Yeah. One of the last movies, Jeff. One of the last movies that I saw at the Arclight was with you.
It was
not a classic, but it was a classic in our hearts. The one and only Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, part of the Fast and the Furious. I love that it was the Fast and the Furious presents.
I like that they hedged their bets in case it was like a giant flop. Like, okay, this is not a Fast and the Furious movie, but like we're associated with it. But like, and if you love it, it's part of the franchise. But if you don't, it's just Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, Joel, did you guys see the preview, the second trailer for F9 for Fast and Furious 9?
I'm waiting. I haven't had like a moment to, yeah. No, it's going to be special.
Go ahead, Alec.
So we say his name one time in this podcast, do you remember seeing any Tom Cruise movies at the Dome?
No.
Never mind. Go on.
Yes. The last three Mission Impossibles. Mission Impossible 4 on. Yes.
The Cinerama Dome is very famous in Hollywood. It was, along with what was called Man Chinese Theater, the place for premieres. It does look like a golf ball. Looks like
they would always disguise it for a big premiere. Remember that? Like they put the Minion eyeball over the top of
it. Or a dinosaur like breaking out through the top of it.
It was watching Hobbs and Shaw with Jeff that got me pumped about doing this podcast because as we've said 1,000 times, we had talked about it for years and years and
a
years.
Decade.
When
a
we
decade.
Went and saw Hobbs and Shaw, I was like, oh, we're seeing popcorn
crap,
fun crap, right, in the best of ways.
Yeah.
Having the time of our lives. Because
and
all
Joel
we did
and
was
I recognized
comment.
In that moment that we were like, wait a minute, we're friends. We should actually hang out together.
Yeah, yeah. And like, we didn't actually hear much of the dialogue in the movie because like, there were nothing but comments back and forth, back and forth the whole time based on what was happening.
So we're raising money. We've been raising money, right? Oh. We've been raising $12 million to buy Tom Cruise's, which, Jeff, you have some news on that.
I have some big news, guys. So I was way off on the price of Tom Cruise's Colorado estate. It wasn't 60 some odd million. It's 39 million.
So we don't even have to raise $12 million.
No, 7.8, right? So we need 7.8 for the down payment.
In my sleep. Yep.
But now we're going to add to that. We're going to buy the Cinerama Dome.
Okay.
So what do we think? It's probably for that kind of land, for that kind of history. It's a price. It's price.
Prime location. $100 million.
I'm going to say a couple bologna sandwiches.
$100 million. Yeah. So we probably need to $30 million, $30-40 million.
25 is the low. I think.
How much are we making to do this podcast?
Not quite that.
No, it's less than that.
Jeff, you told me we were making $10 million each.
Can't get your Maserati yet, buddy. So the GoFundMe is going to be a two-parter. It's to buy Tom Cruise's Colorado estate
Austin, put that sandwich down. We don't have money for it. Yep. All right, Daddy overspent.
Shouldn't have bought the Winnebago. Should have just rented it. Guys, here's some of the movies that I remember.
Back in the box. Going back.
I saw J.J. Abrams' first Star Trek with Alec Lev.
I was going to say, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were together. And that was a real fun, because I, at the time when that opening sequence, I was like, oh, this is one of the best action films I've ever seen.
I love it.
A real fond memory, though, is not a memory where it was a great movie at all. But Christy, my wife, there have been so many moments where she's like, what do you want to do tonight? This is obviously pre-kids. And I was like, let's go see a movie. And it was, she always would humor me and go see the dumbass action films I wanted to go see. And God love it. The Dome was playing the John Cusack classic 2012. What's the name of that? Roland Emmerich's 2012. And as Joel just described, the person comes out at the beginning and gives you a little brief description of what you're about to see. Now, the audience, it's packed. We're sitting in the front, so we're not even on the raked section, we're closer to the front.
Your necks are already uncomfortable. Yeah.
Necks are uncomfortable. There's 10 people to our left and right. We're trapped in the middle. And Christy, in a moment of any panic, has to pee 37 times, no less. Yeah. And the guy comes out and he just goes, welcome to Roland Emmerich's 2012 with a running time of 158 minutes. That, if you're counting, is 2 hours and 38 minutes. She was not happy. But still, we muscled through that night that you conceived
of your children, I'm assuming.
That was not the night we made Jack. No, sir. No, sir. But God, I just loved going there. I saw the Bourne Supremacy there, and I thought that was at the time as well. I was like, oh, this is the best action film I ever saw. And then years later, I saw what I think still is the best action film of all time, which is Mad Max Fury Road with my boys. And we took a picture to commemorate it. So, yeah.
I was playing poker with a guy who saw David Lynch at the Arclight. And he walked over to him and he said nobody was bothering him, whatever. Nobody even knew who he was. And he went, Mr. Lynch, I'm a huge fan. This movie changed my life, that movie. And he goes, oh, thank you. He said, I'm just so curious. What are you here to see? Jason Bourne, I love him. I got to see what he does next.
I love that kind of stuff. Yeah, go ahead, Alec.
Jeff, I'm sorry. We've only got a few minutes left in our bonus episode. There was actually Tom Cruise news in the news.
Yes. So quickly, also just for everybody to know, I don't know if this is good. I think this is good news for us. I actually do. But, this band,
that's how we measure things here.
It's all about us. All three of the next Tom Cruise movies coming out have all been pushed a lot. Top Gun Maverick again was pushed from July 2nd opening to a Thanksgiving opening on November 19th, 2021, which then pushed because that's when Mission Impossible was supposed to come out, 7. So now 7 got pushed to May 27th, 2022, given it that, is that Memorial Day? Is that what that's called? I can never remember what's first. Memorial Day, right? Yeah. Yeah. So now Mission Impossible 7 got pushed to the big Memorial Day next summer or the summer after. And then that pushed MI8 all the way to July, the July 4th weekend of 2023. So a lot of pushing of the Tom Cruise movie. So that means we're not going to see Tommy in space at least until 2024, 2025.
At least until his mid-70s.
We're not going to see him in space, but you and I will when we go interview him for pre-production at the International Space Station.
You're goddamn right we will.
Why do you think that to interview him while he's in space, that they're going to bring you into space to do that? Wouldn't they just have you call him from Earth?
No, because what kind of story would that be? That would not be good publicity. Anybody can call.
But once Tom gets it into his head, see, that's the thing, Alec. Once we inception Tom Cruise's mind that this is a good idea and he starts to buy it as a good idea,
that man has follow through like nobody. Like nobody, Alec.
So how does this affect us? Because that's what matters here. We thought that this, the end of this first season of Meeting Tom Cruise would probably coincide with the release of Top Gun.
Correct.
And there was a, we'd been talking about on his publicity tour, stopping by the MTC studios, maybe a live show. So it looks like that's going to be pushed down a little bit to hopefully future seasons of these fucking shenanigans. Yeah.
Keeps letting this show get better and better and longer and longer. I don't want to say that's the same as something else on my body, but Miles Teller's wife, just to get you guys excited. Now, obviously, she's probably a little biased, but when she watched a copy of Top Gun Maverick, she said, "This is the best movie I've ever seen before. I cried four different times." And Miles Teller also was like, "Oh my God, this movie's amazing. I cannot wait."
Yeah.
But
can't wait.
You're going to have to.
But you're going to have to.
Jeff, can you, I will do one bit of editing here. Can you wrap this up for us? So thank you for listening, blah, 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 that kind of thing.
No, I refuse to let you. I want people to hear us be what it's like when we do this completely unedited, Alec. This is it. This is us. You know what I mean? No makeup.
Oh, well, great. Then, Alec, get out your brick and smash it in your forehead like you normally do. You usually cut that out.
Or where you just end it by usually as we just kind of meander, and then you go, "Shut up. Just shut up." And then you walk away, and then we're like, "Where'd Alec
go? He's angry
again."
Do you know how long I have to edit every one of these?
Or maybe just start sending us angry text messages right now. Alec, did we tell you that Joel the other day?
His eyes have hatred.
Look at his eyes.
Jeff, you look like, please say goodbye.
You look like the shark in Jaws. Dead eyes.
You promised. That's, you look like Buffalo Bill. When he goes, "Weren't she a great big fat girl?" That's those are the eyes. Like the guy who looks like he's about to be found and just unleash. She's a great big fat girl.
Oh no, did you just do Buffalo Bill?
You don't think of Buffalo Bill when you see Alec? A little bit. It's there a little bit. A little bit.
Just say goodbye, Jeff. Just say goodbye.
Bye.
Oh my God. Say a nice goodbye.
You see him just a little bit. "Hey, are you a size 14?
Meeting Tom Cruise is hosted by Jeff Meacham, Joel Johnstone, and me, Alec Lev.
Strangely, and without warning, your guest has been replaced.
It's also produced by the same Alec Lev.
Hey, Mr. Walken, how are you?
Our executive producers are Doug Matica and Dan Patrick. Our engineer and mixer is Alex Reeves for Point of Blue Studios.
Frankenstein never scared me.
Editing by Alec Lev, with additional editing by Alex Reeves.
Marsupials do.
Our music is by H. Scott Salinas and Matthew Atticus Berger.
Because they're fast.
Artwork by Rebecca Montoya. Executive produced by Paul Anderson and Nick Pinella for Workhouse Media. We are a production of Meeting So-and-So in association with Workhouse Media. Find us online at Meeting Cruise on Instagram and Twitter. Check out our website and show notes at meetingtomcruise.com. And you can email us at contact@meetingtomcruise.com. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating. 5 stars are much appreciated. And write a review. It really helps people to find the show, and we just might read it on the air. Meeting Tom Cruise was created by Jeff Meacham and Alec Lev.
Meeting Tom Cruise is a production of the Dan Patrick Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
I also apologize ahead of time.